Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was an 85-year-old couple who were killed in a car crash. They had been in relatively good health for the last 10 or so years, mostly because of the wife's interest in health food and exercise. And when they reached the pearly gates, St. Peter gave them a tour, and the first place he took them was to their mansion, which had a beautiful kitchen and a wonderful master bedroom and a jacuzzi. And as they oohed and aahed, the old man asked, "How much is this going to cost me?" And St. Peter replied, "It's heaven. Everything here is free." So next, St. Peter took them out the back door, and there was a beautiful golf course. And the old man looked and said, "Well, what is it going to cost me to play golf?" "It's free," Peter said. "This is heaven. Everything is free." And so next he took them to the clubhouse, and there was this laid out a beautiful banquet of food. And the old man looked and said, "Sure, I'm going to gain a lot of weight here." And St. Peter said, no, you don't understand. Everything here is free. And there's not a table that has low fat and low cholesterol. You can eat as much as you want." And the old man said, "You mean all this is free?" "Yes," said St. Peter. "Everything here is free. You can play golf as much as you want. You can sit in the jacuzzi as much as you want. None of this costs you anything." The little old man thought for a minute, grabbed his hat, threw it on the floor, stomped up and down on it, and by the time they got him calmed down to find out what the matter was, the little old man said to his wife, "This is all your fault. If it weren't for your blasted muffins and exercise, we could have been here 10 years ago." We spent this morning in adult Sunday school talking about what heaven might be like. That wasn't one of the options, either a golf course or a jacuzzi, but you know, we should maybe be thinking about heaven. John, in the reading today, paints a rather beautiful but strange picture of what heaven might be like. He describes it as being a 1,400-mile cube. If you consider that one side of that cube would cover almost all of the western half of the United States. In order to see the top of a cube that size, you'd have to be 10 miles away from it. To see the entire cube, you would need to be more than 5,000 miles away. And if you were far enough away from that cube for it to look like the size of the moon, you'd have to be over 160,000 miles away. That's quite an interesting description of what heaven might look like. Further, John says that there are precious gems in the walls that are 200 feet wide. And the gates are made of pearls, and the gold of the streets is as clear as glass. And there are precious gems embedded in walls all around all of heaven. But the most peculiar thing is that this heaven, this new city of Jerusalem, which John describes coming down, does not have a sun. And there is no temple there. You see, a sun is not necessary because God is the light that lights that city. The sun or the light by which the people of that new Jerusalem live. Jesus said, "This is perfection. This is what God intended to be in the Garden of Eden." Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." The beginning was the Garden of Eden. And now the Omega comes. That's heaven. That's the end, when everything is restored back to the way it was before the fall. John asks us to imagine a life that would be perfect in every way. I don't know about you, but I thought about that, and I really can't imagine that kind of a life. A life where my computer works perfectly every day. A life where my car never wears out. A life where the hair doesn't fall out of my head. A life where I don't have to look at myself in the mirror and think, oh man, I need to go on a diet again. I need to lose some weight. And I haven't exercised for the last several days. I just can't imagine a life like that. And yet, that is what the future looks like to believers like you and me. That heaven, that future that we look forward to, this week has one additional new member in my cousin Shirley who resides there now. We sat by her bedside for the last couple of weeks. And one night she kept saying, Jesus, Jesus. I don't know what she was saying. But in the meantime, you and I are still here on this earth. And we have to wonder sometimes, where's the hope? Where's the answers to those questions that we have? And we don't have good answers. We have asked more than once, why is there suffering on this earth that we must endure? Why do good things or bad things happen to good people? Why do young people die and old people who are well past their life expectancy still continue to live a life that has a very poor quality? In this broken world, we look for things that will give us hope. The search engine Google reports that there are more than 4 million searches every year for the word hope. People are looking for hope, and they don't know where to find it. And I don't know that they're going to find it on the internet. In Jeremiah 29, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's how we need to seek God, with all our heart. And not seek earthly solutions to our problems here. We do all kinds of things to find solutions to the problems that we have. We develop new drugs and other therapies that will allow people to live longer. We try to prevent car accidents by developing safer cars. You can buy a car today that has equipment that's designed to keep you in your lane. You can buy a car now with has features that will stop the car if you get too close or someone stops in front of you. You can even get cars today that drive themselves. And yes, we pass laws on gun control, and yet young people still die. In the gospel lesson for today, we hear the story of a man who is an invalid. We don't know exactly what his condition was, but he was unable to move by himself, apparently. And so he sat next to a pool in the temple, hoping that the next time the water was stirred, ostensibly by angels, he would be the first one to jump in. But he'd been there for a long time, and the reason he had been there is because he couldn't move himself fast enough to be the first one to get his foot in the pool and thereby be healed. Someone always beat him to that pool and took that step. Jesus walks up to him and says, "Do you want to be healed?" And he immediately begins to explain that, well, I can't be healed because, you see, there's other people who can get in the pool faster than I can. And somebody always steps over me and into the pool, and they're healed, and I'm not. Jesus simply looks at him and says, get up, take your bed, and walk. And he does. There was another solution to his problem. He just hadn't considered what it might be. While his prayers were answered, they weren't answered in a way that he had expected, in an earthly way. But nevertheless, he was healed. In one of the classes that I took, there was a woman who had an adult son who picked up or had some kind of disease. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was generally a terminal disease. And she described to us how many times she had prayed and prayed that he would be healed. that there would be a miracle for his case. There was no miracle, and her son died and at a relatively young age. But she said, you know, it wasn't until after he died that I realized that he was healed. It wasn't until after he died that I realized that my prayers had been answered. Because she said, you see, in heaven he has a new body. In heaven he has clean white robes. Those robes have been washed in the blood of Jesus. And he now has that perfect body and stands before the throne worshiping and praising God. We just have difficulty understanding heavenly options. We understand earthly options, but we don't understand heavenly options. And so I ask you, what about you? Are you crippled by your age and your physical limitations? Are you hoping that someone would somehow cause a miracle to happen and get you into that pool first? Are we blaming our problems on others beating us to the young people that we seem to think we need so desperately to grow? Every Sunday, we meet the same Jesus who healed that man at the pool in this building. We hear his word spoken. We sing his praises. We receive his body and his blood. And he says to each of us each Sunday, do you want to be healed? And surely we want all to be healed, at least an earthly healing as we understand it. But eventually our bodies will wear out and we will fail and we will be at the point of death. But then on that last day we will be raised and experience complete healing in the glory of a heaven which is well beyond our earthly comprehension. Our robes will be washed white in the blood of the Lamb and we will be around God's throne with all the saints. We will live in that perfect heaven that John visualized today, that heavenly Jerusalem that will come down from heaven. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.